Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old Richmond, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Now there was a time, let's talk about him for a moment and how important it is, because it's taking the world here by storm. Years ago, it was very legal in this country, and then it became illegal. What happened?
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, hemp was always a major economic backbone of our country. I go back to the 13 colonies. We grew hemp, just from the very beginning of our country. The British needed it for their Royal Navy. It was used for sails, for rope, for, you know, all of their supplies, uniforms. And you could even, as a colonist, you could even pay your taxes to the British government in hemp. So, it was a very big crop back then. I know our founding fathers grew hemp. George Washington grew it out at all 5 of his farms. And then when we get around the 1930s, the federal government was trying to drum up some additional money and additional taxes. And the Marijuana Tax Act came around, and I'm sure you've heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first piece of legislation that really put hemp and marijuana together and started to really kind of begin this culture of confusion around what marijuana is, what hemp is, what each one is used for, and, you know, didn't distinguish between the two. And that was largely done on purpose. We had William Randolph Hearst, who had the largest newspaper chain in the country at the time. Hearst Communications is still around today. He owned the forests that he used to produce all the paper for his empire, and he always saw hemp as a competition to him. So did a lot of other industries at the time.
Because they used hemp for paper too, didn't they?
Right. And at this particular time, what's really interesting is that, you know, hemp had always been around, but the tools to manufacture things out of hemp started to, they started to get more modernized, and that's what became the factor here, where people saw it as competition, because, we had obviously big cotton industry at this time. There were also industries such as DuPont that were, you know, a rising petrochemical company. They had a lot of lucrative chemical patents at the time, and they saw hemp as, you know, a direct competition as well, because a lot of the methods that they used to pulp paper, hemp wasn't, you know, you didn't need those means to make paper out of hemp.
Did people in those days smoke hemp as well?
They did smoke marijuana. As far as I know, it was also used in for medical purposes. We go into this in Jesse Ventura's Marijuana Manifesto when we talk about how marijuana was impacted by this particular law. This is a time when morphine started to come about in the medical field, and they realized that they could really figure out the dosage for using that for pain management. And a lot of doctors did use like a hemp or marijuana oil to treat a lot of different pain for their patients. So this is something that was in the medical community at the time, and it affected doctors as well. After this act was passed, if you were a doctor and you were prescribing marijuana to a patient, you had to actually report that information to the director of the Bureau of Narcotics, who was at the time Harry Anslinger. So a lot of people didn't want to do that. Who wanted to go on a list for using a medication that was going to go to the Bureau of Narcotics. And doctors didn't feel comfortable doing that either. And then, of course, anyone that was in the particular industry of growing hemp, producing it, manufacturing it into something, or if you're prescribing marijuana, you had to pay a tax. There weren't any other taxes placed on any other medications or any other industrial crops. So people started to, think, well, this is kind of a risky thing to be involved in. And, at the time, we weren't really doing our best economically. So, people weren't inclined to spend extra money, to keep harvesting hemp.
Now, hemp, of course, is part of the cannabis species, but it's different from marijuana. What is the difference between the two plants?
Yes, they are different. A lot of times people describe them as cousins. They're related, but they're used for entirely different purposes. So the greatest distinction is definitely the content of THC. So that's the psychoactive element in the plant in marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what marijuana is used for. Overall, in general, there's really no other use for that plant. Hemp, on the other hand, does not have a great quantity of THC. There's about 3%. 0.3% or less THC in the hemp plant. And the rest of it is, there's CBD in there, there's CBD in both marijuana and hemp. But the hemp plant is used for making all different types of products, from clothing to rope, as we talked about, paper. Now we can get into plastics. There's a big movement to start using it. A lot of car dealerships today, like BMW, for instance, use hemp in their door panels, natural fibers instead of carbon fiber, because it's more eco-friendly to go that route. And it also looks very different. Hemp looks more like bamboo. It has a long stalk, where marijuana looks more like a tree or a bush. It has more of a shrub appearance.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about now what is going on with the future of hemp, Jen. Next hour, we'll take phone calls with our listeners who are fascinated by this topic. But at what point did hemp start becoming legal again?
So it's been a slow process. Obviously, I think most people know we grew hemp in World War II for all sorts of war purposes, for, you know, making parachute cords, uniforms for our soldiers. In the book, I talk about that, how at that time, the USDA came in and helped farmers, really grow as much of the crop as possible. There were processing plants that were built at the time specifically for hemp to make all of these things. And even politicians said that we wouldn't have won the war without hemp.
Wow.
And then, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. I have them quoted in the book. And, you know, after World War II, we went back to the Marijuana Tax Act. And, farmers went over to Congress and, you know, petitioned to get the taxes taken away. And then by the time Congress tried to rectify it, it was several years later. And by that time, you know, the synthetic fibers like nylon and rayon and all those different polyesters started to become very popular. So again, the whole drive to make hemp into an agricultural commodity kind of went by the wayside yet again. Then when we get into the late 90s, around 1999, Canada obviously started their own hemp program and legalized it and started to export it for food purposes. So, you know, we wanted to import it. And the government made a special exception for Canadian food-grade hemp products, including hemp oil and hemp seed, to be imported. So, at that point, farmers were like, well, wait a minute. Why are we importing it? Can't we just grow it? And then, you know, we can keep that money here. So from that point moving forward, there was always an advocacy effort to get hemp back as a legal crop. And, you know, obviously by this time, it was on the Schedule I narcotic list next to marijuana. You know, in the 1970s, it was classified by the DEA as a drug. So, you know, that's always been the number one problem, especially, you know, in our lifetime, to get access to hemp. We had to take it off of the Schedule I narcotic list. In 2014, we started to see a shift where the federal government came up with the Industrial Hemp Pilot Program, and that allowed farmers to grow the crop under special conditions. And each state could come up with their own guidelines, but in general, these farmers were growing the crop mm-hmm. for more of an academic purpose, to study it, to see, you know, when was the best time to grow it, what could be possibly made from it if it's grown a certain way. And again, you know, they're wondering, well, what's the future for this? Can it become a full commodity like we see in Canada? And it took until the 2018 Farm Bill for that to actually become a reality. The Industrial Hemp Act was put into that bill, which took hemp off of the Schedule I narcotics list. It officially categorized it as an agricultural crop. And now, because of that, farmers are able to grow it and also get crop insurance. They're able to get access to bank accounts, credit card companies, everything that you could do in a normal business, but you weren't able to do if you were growing hemp prior.
But that's changing.
Yeah, that's changing now that hemp is legal.
How rigorous is it as a plant? Does it grow fast?
Yes, it does. Hemp can mature in about 100 to 180 days. So you can really, it's a pretty fast-growing cycle. So depending on the climate, some people can grow, you know, two crops a year, even three different rotations a year if they're in the right climate. And it doesn't take a lot of water the way other agricultural crops do, like corn or cotton. And obviously, it's also one of the big benefits for growing it is it doesn't need all those pesticides that other crops need.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials, cover-up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
She's breathing right now? Yes, she's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's pretty dramatic. What about other countries, Jen? What are they doing in this arena?
Well, you know, Canada.
Besides
Canada. Yeah, so hemp is, we're actually importing a lot of hemp seed to start all these programs. Now that, you know, obviously hemp is federally legal, the majority of it is coming from other countries. So I talk about different varieties of hemp in the book, and how there's, you know, different ones are better for certain purposes. So if you're growing hemp for making clothing, or if you're growing it to make food, you might choose one variety over another. You know, we're getting hemp from one particular strain is from Spain. Another one's from France, and it's, you know, they grow it mostly in France and in the European Union. I mean, they're growing it for CBD oil. They're growing it for, you know, just about every purpose under the sun. we're even importing Finnish industrial hemp which is mostly used for grain or as a food source. So I feel like we have a lot of catching up to do, especially since China in general wants to really capitalize on the CBD market right now.
As a cash crop, how does it compare to like corn or soybeans?
Yeah, it is a cash crop. Right now, everyone is really focusing on CBD because that's where farmers can make the most money. And especially if you want to take a look at a state, for instance, like Kentucky. You know, Kentucky, they always grew, they were always known for growing tobacco. That was really their main cash crop. And obviously, tobacco isn't as popular now as it once was, so that the need for that particular crop has gone down significantly. And they've switched over to soybeans to replace tobacco as the leading crop in the state. And the investment on the return is not as substantial as hemp. If you're growing soybeans, about an acre of soybeans yields about $500, while an acre of hemp that's being grown for CBD can bring in as much as $30,000
wow.
per acre.
That's huge.
That's a huge difference. Yeah, and that's not an overly optimistic figure. That's actually a conservative estimate.
Jeez, and there's a market, right? There's a market for the product?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know, CBD, now that hemp is legal, what ended up happening was hemp CBD is now legal federally. So, you know, this is something that's now available in mostly every state. And it's obviously used for a lot of different purposes and helps many different people with many different conditions and ailments, you
Absolutely.
Know, everything from seizures to arthritis.
And cancer, too, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep. Cancer, too.
I mean,
yeah, it's remarkable.
Big Pharma probably doesn't want to know about this, does it?
Well, yeah, it's, you know, what's really crazy is that the FDA just approved the first pharmaceutical drug with CBD in it. It's called Epidiolex, and it's for a rare, two rare seizure conditions, Dravet syndrome, and I forget the other one, but it's, you know, it's a very, it's a very hard condition to treat.
Fascinating.
Because there's just those, you know, the seizures are just so constant, and there hasn't been any other treatment for it that works. And the CBD is effective.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.